The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I'd like to read some verses from my translation of the Dhammapada. And some of the verses, three of them, I'm going to offer you as a challenge, and a challenge to think about and reflect, and especially if you get challenged in a good way, if you don't just quickly dismiss the verses, or if you don't quickly... think you know what they're about, or if you accept the challenge by thinking, how could this be? You know, what is it? What's in these verses for me? How is this useful for me? These verses, and how do I do this? So it's in chapter 20 in Dhammapada, and it's a chapter that's titled "The Path," and I'll read one of the introductory verses first before the three that I want to read. The best of paths is the Eightfold Path. The best of truths, the Four Noble Truths. The best of qualities is dispassion. And the best among gods and humans is the one with eyes to see. This is the path for purifying one's vision. There is no other. Follow it, you'll bewilder Mara. Follow it, and you'll put an end to suffering. This is the path I have proclaimed, having pulled out the arrows. Having pulled out the arrows refers to another verse of the Buddha where he talks about having been bewildered by all the suffering in the world and his distress around how this world is. And in sitting with himself, he realized that deep inside his own heart there was an arrow that was embedded. And so part of his suffering, you know, what he could do something about was he could pull that arrow out of his heart. And that was kind of his way of finding a solution to the suffering he found in the world. And so that's the introductory. And then the three verses, this is the three verses to challenge you with. All created things are impermanent. Seeing this with insight, one becomes disenchanted with suffering. All created things are suffering. Seeing this with insight, one becomes disenchanted with suffering. All things are not self. Seeing this with insight, one becomes disenchanted with suffering. So the interesting phrase here is becoming disenchanted with suffering, as if this is a good thing. Maybe some of you think you're already plenty disenchanted. But are you really? And are there ways which would be useful for you to, in a different way, new way, useful way, to become disenchanted? And disenchanted implies that you only need to be disenchanted if you're already enchanted. So what ways are you enchanted with suffering, in the trance of suffering? What way do you overinvest some kind of importance into your suffering? And there's some healthy way of becoming disenchanted. And disenchanted is not the same thing as becoming free of your suffering. Maybe it's a step to becoming free. But to become disenchanted is to no longer be enthralled by it, or no longer put a tremendous amount of importance in the suffering that you have. So overdo it. Some people, for some people's lives, suffering is overrated, and maybe this is teaching here is about, you know, give up the overrating of it. Suffering exists for many people, and it's hard to deny that people suffer. And probably some of you suffer from time to time, And so this is not a denying of it, but it is a challenge to look and see, what is your relationship to that suffering? And how do you hold it? And one of the ways to be enchanted with suffering is to make it much bigger than it is. For example, you get enchanted with suffering if you feel that this is an amazingly big personal flaw, that you should be someone who's suffering. Or you can be enchanted by suffering by assuming that that if you're doing this life just right, that you would not suffer at all, and that you can't certainly let your Buddhist friends know you're suffering, because it's Buddhism is to be free of suffering, you know, and you must be doing it wrong. Or some people get enchanted with suffering because that's the only thing they really know of how to establish a sense of self or orient themselves. Some people use their suffering as a way of getting attention from other people, or certain kinds of attention. And so playing up suffering and being enchanted by it and getting other people enchanted with your suffering is the name of the game. And so some people are really good at kind of, you know, playing it all up. Some people, their suffering gives them a sense of value. They feel alive and feel connected to something, even though they're uncomfortable. And the idea of not suffering is disorienting. And because then there isn't something that's pumping them up or enchanting them or giving them a sense of meaning or something. And some people actually, when they relax in meditation, the ordinary sufferings of the life begin to fade away, at least temporarily, find themselves quite disturbed by that. It's like so foreign and troubling. And so they sometimes want to rush back to their comfort of their usual suffering. Some people actually talk about that their suffering is comforting because it's all they've ever known. And so, what is it like to be not suffering? You know, even though it's uncomfortable in some ways, it's what they know. So, you know, I'm suggesting these are ways of being enchanted by suffering. And some people are kind of negatively enchanted, where they abhor their suffering. They overrate it by saying, this is terrible, this is the worst, this can't be. And, and so there's this whole kind of inflating the importance of suffering, the value of it, and then there are people who just love to get together and share their suffering. Let me outdo yours, and that's their connection. Let me talk about especially as we get older, right? How many of you? Some of you are getting older. Some of you are not getting older yet. You think. I've noticed that I'm getting to be an old man now. And I've noticed that people my age, how often they talk about their physical ailments. They're enchanted with, this and that about their bodies and doctors and all these conversations. Maybe not. Is that true? Some of those of you have gray hair, or should have it, and so there's a certain camaraderie-ness that come with talking about it. And it's like, instead of gossiping about other people and getting a connection that way, you talk about health. So this enchantment, this kind of allure, this rating, part of being enchanted with suffering is to use it as a comfort, protection, relationship to others, identity. Some people, their huge identity issues is built around being a victim, a personal victim, a social victim, all kinds of things, and they get juice from it. They get juiced. They get kind of energy from it, from their suffering. They hold it. Some people hold it like a badge. So in what way might you be enchanted with suffering? Is the challenge. How do you relate to your suffering in unnecessary ways? And then what does it look like to become disenchanted as opposed to bringing it to an end? It'd be nice, to snap your fingers and be finished once and for all. you know, to get enlightened, and happily enlightened, and live happily ever after. So that's nice, please do. But short of that, what would it look like if you became disenchanted? And could this, a little bit disenchanted, the word disenchanted in English might have some negative connotations. But I'm suggesting here, in this context, it's meant to be all good, because it means that you're in a trance to begin with. You're enchanted in an unhealthy way. Enchanted means you've been some witch has come over and, you know, put a spell over you. You know, you're in a spell of something, and then you're not seeing clearly. So what's a healthy way of, you know, breaking the spell? What's a healthy way of becoming disenchanted? And one of the things that happens in becoming disenchanted, the suffering doesn't go away, but the suffering isn't overrated anymore. And perhaps your suffering becomes ordinary as opposed to extraordinary. And there's something beautiful that can happen. Just seeing, this is ordinary. It's an ordinary part of life. People suffer, I suffer. They're suffering. I don't have to make a big deal of it. I don't have to get frightened by it. I don't have to be alarmed by it. But there's something just as ordinary to have suffering. But there are all kinds of different types. And perhaps in the ordinariness of suffering, the ordinariness of feeling it, that perhaps suffering has some value even. Perhaps suffering is one of our teachers. It teaches us humility. It teaches us empathy for others. It teaches us how to let go. It teaches us to kind of be kind of maybe more grounded people, people of the earth, people of people who belong to these ancient cycles of birth and death, ancient cycles of nature that come and go, and we're just part of it, and it's part of this ancient lineage that we're part of is to suffer. And then if it's ordinary that way, if you're disenchanted, not in the spell of it, not in some big way for or against it, then you're in a much better position to see it clearly for what it is. To see clearly what's really going on here in this life of ours. What's really happening? Because you can't see if you're in a spell. And so here they talk about seeing with insight, seeing that all created things are impermanent, seeing that all created things are unsatisfactory in some ways, unsatisfactory for the purposes of clinging or holding on to them, and that all things are not self. So then later verse in the same chapter says, destroy attachment to self. Cultivate the path to peace. So this whole movement, this path, the Eightfold Path, the path of practice, the path of becoming disenchanted, the path of, you know, relaxing with our suffering, is meant to be a path that leads to greater and greater peace. And so I hope that you'll take up my little challenge to explore yourself and think about yourself and what ways might you be in the spell of suffering, and what ways might you break that spell and allow yourself to be ordinary with your suffering. And in doing that, be on the path to greater peace in your life. So, thank you.